You know, I'm glad you're here. But Jesus is even more glad you're here. He really is. Every one of you. Maybe you're here this morning and go, I'm not sure why I'm here. I don't even want to be here. I don't even know how I got here. Jesus is glad you are here. I think it's in the book of Luke where during the Lord's table, Jesus says to his disciples, I have been so looking forward to being with you. That's what he says. I've been so looking forward to being with you. You know the verse, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. There's more than three people here. So he's for sure here. He's glad that you are here to participate in the Lord's table with him, to remember him, to worship him. So I'm glad you're here, but Jesus is even more glad that you're here. He's for you. He loves you. So earlier this week I was praying, I thought, well, what do you want to say to us as a church? What do you want to say? You're inviting us to communion with you. What do you want to say? This is what I sensed he said. It was kind of an interesting thought. As far as the calendar goes, we are closer to Christmas than we are to Easter. Did you know that? Had you thought about that?
We are 99
days till Christmas. How many Mondays are your daughter sent us? How many? Okay? We're closer to Christmas than we are to Easter. 5 months and 3 months. And then I sense him say, well, I told my disciples to remember my death and my resurrection regularly, but I never told them to remember my birth. You never notice that in the Bible? It never talks about we must celebrate Christmas. So we're not going to do that. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, man. We need to remember his death. We tend to remember birthdays, and so we should. But unless the death is really impacts us, we don't tend to remember the anniversaries of deaths at all. But we should. Jesus reminds us in Ecclesiastes that funerals are more important to attend. We should be attending funerals. Don't worry, I'm not going that deep or that morose. But they cause us to be more reflective on life. But my death, clearly, he's saying, my death, Jesus' death, clearly points to life and heaven. Always. Without birth, there is no life. That makes sense. Without a birth and a life, there isn't death. There can't be death. And without a birth and a life and a death, without Jesus' birth, without Jesus' life, without Jesus' death, there is no eternal life in heaven. Think about that. Jesus came and lived and died and rose from the dead for us. So I want us to look a little bit into a short little story. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark chapter 14. And this little story is tucked in between two other events or stories. There's an event that I'm going to talk about. But just before this, the Pharisees and the religious leaders are trying to figure out, and it says, the teachers of religious law. Now keep that in mind. The teachers of religious law are trying to figure out, how can we kill Jesus? Really? You're a teacher of the religious law. What is one of the Ten Commandments?
Thou shalt not murder.
Yeah, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. What? What are you doing? And after this event, this story I'm going to tell you about, then what happens is somebody goes out and betrays Jesus. His name is Judas. What does it say about not bearing false witness? Betrayal. In the Old Testament, it talked a lot about betrayal. Examples and others. It's one of the worst. I think it's the Christian group called Petra, like betrayed by Judas' kiss. Betrayed. But right in the middle is this neat story that Jesus actually says, I tell you the truth, verse 9, I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached, throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered. So I'm going to tell you about that deed, because it's important for us to remember. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany, verse 3, if you're following along. And I'm not putting the verses up, because I just want you to feel with me the story. I just want you to carry with me in the story here. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, who has previously had leprosy. Can you imagine leprosy? Ostracized, pushed out to the outside. He's outside the city. No friends, no relatives could go see him. Alone. But Jesus healed him. So they're having a party together to thank him and celebrate with Jesus the healing. While Jesus was eating and reclining, as they often did, they didn't sit at tables like we did. They kind of reclined with a short table is what they called it. While he was eating and reclining, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. Now I need you to picture this. A jar, some people say it's a box. Alabaster is a very special, expensive kind of stone. And it would have been probably a taller jar, or maybe even a box, that was very beautiful. Now, it goes on in the passage where that jar was worth a year's wages of that time. So I don't know what your year's wage is, 10,000, 20, 30, 40, 50,000, 100,000, whatever it is. Pick whatever number. That's how expensive that alabaster jar was. A year's worth of wages. Of a nard. This particular perfume, this particular ointment came from Asia and India. So it would have had to been transported. It would have been traded. So here she is. She has this very expensive jar with a very expensive perfume. Now, it's interesting that in Luke 7, there's another passage earlier on in Jesus' life where another woman, I don't know if it's the same woman. I kind of like to think it is. Because back in Luke, this woman comes up to Jesus in another home, and she begins to anoint his feet and pour the oil over his feet. Remember, he's reclining, so his feet were probably behind him. And it says in Luke 7, she was a prostitute. She was a woman of ill repute. People would have ostracized her. She would have had no friends, no relatives. They would have pushed her away, just like this leper. But she realized the grace of Jesus, and she came and anointed, again, another alabaster jar, an expensive jar, a year's wage, and poured it over her feet, and wept, and used her hair to wipe and spread the oil. And the whole room, can you imagine? The whole room is filled with this. Now we have lots of places where it's fragrance-free, just because of allergies and stuff like that. But that whole room would have just been filled with this perfume, because it's a very strong, this nard is a very strong perfume, a beautiful perfume. And I can't help but wonder if she comes back. It's 2 days before the Passover. We know, they didn't know then that Jesus was going to be crucified. They didn't put it all together. We can, but they didn't. And so she comes and she breaks open this jar. That's the thing. You can't reuse this jar. It has to be broken, opened up, never to be used again. And then she takes it and pours the perfume, not on his feet. She pours it on his head as he's lying there. She pours it on his head, the whole jar. Can you imagine the scene? What's going on? What a waste, as it goes on in this passage. What a waste, a year's wages. We could have given that to the poor. Especially Judas is talking about that, because he would steal some of the money from the disciples because he was in charge of the money. We could have done something, sold it, and helped the poor. And Jesus says, you know what? You'll always have the poor. But look what she has done. He says, leave her alone, verse 6. Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You'll always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. Pointing ahead. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. Anointed my body for burial ahead of time. This woman gave everything that she had. Probably ahead of time. Now again, 2 days before. An act of worship, an act of thankfulness. Jesus, you have forgiven me. In Luke 7, Jesus turns to her and says, your sins are forgiven. All your sins. You know what, church? All your sins. Every sin that we have done our entire life is forgiven. Every sin. Ah, if you're like me and you're human, I sometimes replay those sins in my mind and I'm like, oh, why did I do that? Or the devil attacks me or you and says, remember what we did? And every one of those sins, I forgive. They are forgiven. Would you dare repeat after me and go, I'm forgiven? You do that? I'm forgiven. So what would be our response? What would be our response? Because he's forgiven us. Everything. I want to play this song written by Gateway Worship called Alabaster. So in his physical body, but physically, humanly, he would die. He would die for you and me. Though we may die physically, but we're resurrected to new life. That's what he's showing. Interesting. Jesus could have said, wow, when you die, you'll go to heaven. He goes, well, prove it. He proved it. I died, and I rose from the dead. And I'm in heaven. And if you believe me, believe in me, when you die, you will be in heaven too, in the twinkling of an eye. That's the hope we have. So would you take some bread? With the tables in front of you. Break off a piece if you'd like. Keep it in your hand. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
For me.
For me.
And for my neighbor.
Right here on my table.
You died for us, Lord Jesus.
We thank you.
Scripture says in the same way, took the cup. This is my blood, he says. This is my blood. And it renews, creates a covenant between us and God. Because of his death and resurrection, we are reunited with the Father, our Creator. Loves us. We have relationship now with him. Remember, our sins are forgiven. Therefore, we can go to our Father. Covenant in relationship. So repeat after me. Lord Jesus,
thank you for your
blood.
Thank you for your blood.
You shed on the cross.
You shed on the cross.
Thank you for your life.
Thank you for your life.
Your death.
Your
and your resurrection.
And your resurrection.
Thank you that I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. In your name, Jesus.
In your name, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's drink together. In the quietness, what do you think? Don't share with anyone. Just be quiet. What are you thinking? Sometimes when we celebrate the Lord's table, we rush off to the next thing. Just pause here for a moment. What are you thinking? Of Jesus. His life. His death. His resurrection. For us.